Thank you for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown, and I'm Vic Verschereau. We're so glad you joined us today, and today I have somebody that I consider to be a dear friend, an individual that I just admire his talent and capabilities. We've spent some time in different spots around the world together, and I'm glad to have just a piece of his day to come in here and talk to us here today. His name is Philip Myers, and he is a corporate entertainer and producer, and of course, a fantastic musician and an incredibly talented guy, but I think the biggest headline here, he's just a nice guy. So, Philip, welcome to our humble show.
Well, Vic, I appreciate you having me, and we do go back a ways, and I'm excited to spend some time with you and to your listeners, and so let's do this together.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, this wouldn't be right if we didn't at least start here at the end of our programming with the idea that you and I just discovered we're both grandparents. So that's probably the most important thing we're doing. Wouldn't you agree?
It is absolutely maybe the greatest gift we have in our life. So I'm delighted to share that with you as well.
Yeah, it's just incredible. We'll have to swap some photographs when we get a chance. But, you know, Philip, I had a chance to meet you, and you've regaled me with a variety of stories. And I thought it would be just a wonderful time for us to talk about some of those stories, some that are appropriate we can put over the airwaves. And I just thought maybe we'd have a chance to get caught up in some of that. But before we do that, why don't we kind of go back and talk about a little bit about what you currently do, and then I'd like to hear about the journey that got you to that space. So in your current world, tell us what does it look like? How do you spend your days? What kind of projects are you involved with? And just fill that in for us, please.
Well, obviously, Vic, we'll talk more about, historically, we've done corporate shows for companies, Fortune 500 companies, literally all over the world. And probably between, I don't know, just hundreds of corporate shows a year. So we've been historically on the road the majority of the year. And that's one of the ways, the primary way that you and I got to know each other. And I'm sure we'll talk about that more. But currently, you know, the world as we've known it from an entertainer standpoint is very different. Doing virtual programs for clients, we've had to four wall and go into the studio and redesign things so that we're capable of doing that for clients. I'm in the middle of a project right now. Well, I've done a couple things for that. One was on CBS television in the New York market for a company that was a half hour live broadcast.
Oh, wow.
That we did a concert to raise funds. And then I'm currently working on a project for a company called Sock Out Cancer. Cancer is something that's very dear to my heart in that I lost my mom, my dad, and my grandma all to cancer.
Oh, my word.
And my mom when I was just 19, and she was my biggest musical influence growing up. So cancer is something very close to my heart. And so this company, Sock Out Cancer, is very similar to the Ronald McDonald House, but the difference being 100% of the proceeds go directly to the families because there's no overhead. Everything is from a volunteer basis. So they provide housing, food, out-of-pocket expenses, to parents whose kids are in cancer treatment. So it's very close to my heart. We were set to do concert this year for 2,400 people in Syracuse, New York. But as a result, you know, not able to do that, obviously. And so we came up with this idea of creating a CD, a compilation of all original songs. And I have written, along with a couple of my assistants, have written this theme song for Sock Out Cancer. And so these 10 tracks will be on this brand new CD, which will be coming out. Matter of fact, I'm in the studio right now as we speak, working on that project, and hope to have it done within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Those are just some of the things we're doing in this crazy period that we're in.
Yeah, well, no doubt. And of course, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I have this, in the old days we used to call them Rolodexes, but, you know, in our contacts now, you flip through these, and I have Philip Myers in my contact list. In your contact list, you have Fortune 500 companies, you have entertainers from around the world, you have all kinds of amazing people and experiences that you've enjoyed over the years. So we're going to have a chance to talk about that in the beginning in our next segment. But real quickly, tell me, when was the first professional gig that you did? How old were you at that time?
Professional gig, probably I sang for President Richard Nixon. That was one of my firsts early on in my life. Billy Graham in one of his big crusades for thousands of people.
Oh my word!
So I was in the, something called the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, which is on national television.
Yeah.
When I was just in the eighth grade.
Oh my!
And I finished second in the nation. Most people never even heard of the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, but that was before Star Search and all those worlds.
We want to hear all about this, Phil. I got to tell you, there's so much good stuff that's going to be coming out in the next few segments. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm just, if I had a tail, it would be wagging right now to have Philip Myers with us here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verschero, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Holman, and as chairman of the National Small Business Association and a business owner myself, I understand that when you run a business, you rely heavily on your computer network. You can't afford lost data, lost customer information. That's why you should trust your technology needs to ASK. Contact ASK at 877-ASK-4ASK for a free audit and analysis of your technology needs. That's 877-ASK-4ASK, or find them on the internet at www.justask.net. ASK, taking the hassle out of technology so that you can run your business. Michigan,
Michigan. You've tuned in to the Michigan Business Network, and this is the Leadership Lowdown with Vic Verschero and the amazing Philip Myers. He's with us today. He is a corporate entertainer and a producer of major programming, as well as one of the best musicians I've ever encountered in my lifetime. He is a true gem. And Philip, as we were talking in this last segment, when was the first time that you kind of got into your first professional gig? Is there more humble beginnings besides that? Would you go back before the professional time and say, yeah, I kind of always liked to sing?
Well, you know, it's interesting you ask that, Vic, because in doing these corporate shows for companies across the country, a lot of times I'm asked, you know, as you and I both know, some of the best times you have when you're doing these shows is afterwards when we're sitting in the bar having our favorite cocktail together, and we talk about family and catching up with each other and, you know, how's the business doing and so on and so forth. And so for me, long before that journey started, I was 4 years old, and my mother was the single biggest influence on my life. We'd sit in the pew at church. You know, I grew up in a very small Baptist church. And the interesting thing about musicians is, and entertainers, if you went through and asked all of them, not all, but a majority of them would all say, man, I got my start in church. You know, that's how I began to sing, be it Whitney Houston or Rihanna, no matter who it is across the board. John Legend just talked about it recently, how growing up in the church. So for me, when I was 4 years old, my father was the director of music. And so my mom said, it's time for you to sing a song. So I got up to sing a song at the age of four. My dad had to get a box so I could see over the podium.
Sure.
So I stood up on this box, and I sang the song Amazing Grace.
Oh.
Now, I don't remember that, obviously, but just before my father passed away in 92, he called me into his hospital room, and he said, Philip, in your career, you'll often be asked, when's the first time you ever sang a song? He said, you probably don't remember this, but you were 4 years old, and I made a reel-to-reel recording of that morning.
Wow.
And he handed me a cassette tape. He'd had it transferred. Now, this has taken us back, obviously. We're aging ourselves. Yeah. So he hands me a cassette tape, which he had transferred from the reel-to-reel, and he said, this is the first song you ever sang, Amazing Grace, and I want you to keep this so you never fail to remember where your talent came from. So,
wow.
You know, that's for me.
What a treasure gift. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah. We all have a starting point, be it regardless of what business you're in, your corporate world or personal world or whatever it is, we have a starting point, and people who have inspired us through the years, and clearly I've had a lot. So that was my starting point, age of four.
Well, I think there has to be a time, you know, so from that humble beginnings of four to your amazing career that you've enjoyed all your life. I mean, somewhere in there, when did it start occurring to you that, man, I think I might want to do this for keeps and make a living out of this?
Well, so I was in high school. I was performing. I wasn't serious about music. I took piano for 6 months in the third grade, quit, didn't pick it up again when I got in high school. there were some guys that approached me. I was serious into sports. You probably didn't know this, Vic, but I played basketball in college. I landed a scholarship at University of Tennessee.
Oh, why?
And played my freshman year as point guard on the Tennessee basketball team. Well, the last year they had an SEC freshman team. Now it's just, you know, there's no freshman team that's separate from the varsity. But my call to fame was I got my butt kicked by Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld every day in practice as they were seniors and I was a freshman. So we were the practice squad for those guys. But, so when I was in high school, I wanted to be a doctor. And so my course teacher came in one day and said, Philip, they're having a scholarship audition at the University of Tennessee, and I think you should try out. And I said, I don't want to be a musician. I'm going to be a doctor. I'd already been accepted at Tennessee to study medicine. And she said, I'll get you out of school for 3 days. And I said, oh, okay.
Much better deal.
Me two voice lessons. Yeah, two voice lessons. I had to learn Italian art songs. It was classical music, which I'd never even listened to.
Right.
So I went down and tried out. There were 500 of us, and I won the scholarship.
Wow.
So came back home, talked to my dad, who's sitting in the living room. He's an engineer with Eastman Chemicals, part a division of Kodak at the time. And he said, how'd the audition go? I said, well, it went pretty well. And I said, I won the scholarship. And he said, what's that mean? I said, well, what that means is I can go into medicine and you pay for it, or I can go into music and they pay for it. And he said, what's so hard to understand about this decision?
Go sing, son.
They're both liberal arts initially, so why don't you just take your core subjects, and if you don't like it, transfer out of it, and I'll help you with your college. And the end of the story is I was hooked in music. I didn't know much about it. I caught on quickly, ended up graduating with 2 degrees in music, and then working on my master's in Atlanta with Robert Shaw and the Atlanta Symphony in conducting.
Wow. Isn't that something? Well, you know, and I have to tell you, along the way, you've found that music is it creates a language, it creates a lot of different skills and things that go on in this. And what I'm just so impressed by is the path that it's led you around the world, the people that you've come in contact with, and some of the friends you've made along the way. And I can't wait to hear more about this, Philip. I'm so glad you joined us here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verscher with Philip Myers, and we'll be right back.
The Lansing Board of Water and Light is working on a cleaner energy future. A plan proposed by a citizens' committee and the BWL will replace the coal-fired Eckerd plant with power from wind turbines, solar panels, energy-saving technologies, and cleaner natural gas that improve our air quality and environmental health. Learn more about the BWL's plan to become Michigan's cleanest electric utility at LansingEnergyTomorrow.com. The Lansing Board of Water and Light. Hometown people. Hometown power.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro here on the Michigan Business Network, and I have the amazing Philip Myers with me, who has an amazing career and really something that I think almost any of us, especially a mere mortal like me, would love to have a part of. And I'm kind of living it vicariously through this particular visit we're having right now. So, Philip, you're in college and doing great, and kind of have discovered that maybe this music thing is pretty cool. Was there a big break or a big moment along the way right there as a young man that kind of said, yep, I'm in? Is there anything like that happened?
I tell you, Vic, it was a Monday night, and I was a freshman in college, University of Tennessee, and I was sitting in a restaurant called the Regus, and it was a very high-end steakhouse downtown Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was sitting in the bar, and I was hired to play one night a week in this bar, and I just basically did it so I could get a little extra money. So I'm sitting at the bar, playing the piano, singing, and these two guys come in, and they sit at the back of the lounge. Now, keep in mind, it's a Monday. Normally, it's so quiet on Monday, and this was no different because it was dead. So I'm in there playing, and these two guys sit there and listen for a long time. Finally, at 10 o'clock, I close the lid on the piano. They walk up, and they put a $20 bill on my piano. And they said, young man, we really enjoyed your music tonight. I said, well, thank you very much. I feel like I should split that with you guys. You've been sitting there for 2 hours. And they laughed. And they said, so I have a question for you. Do you write any original songs? And I said, yeah, I've written original songs through the years. And they said, do you have about 45 minutes worth of original songs? And I said, if I put them all together, I might have that much. Why? And they said, what are you doing this Saturday night? And I said, well, probably having a beer with my buddies. That's why I'm playing music here, so I can have a beer with my buddies.
Right.
And they said, well, we've got this guy coming through town, and we really need an opening act for him. And we'd like for you to do this for 26,000 people.
Oh, my
and
word.
I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And they said, we'll pay you $2,500 for 45 minutes. I said, let me think. Okay.
Yeah, so, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I can.
I think I can. So $20 versus $2,500, yeah, I think I can. So fast forward to Saturday night. And one thing that you learn in this business as a keynote speaker or a CEO of a company, and Vic, you know all about this, it's the way how you open a show or a speech and how you close it are the two most important things, because you want to grab their attention at the beginning and you want to leave them wanting more at the end. As my voice teacher used to tell me, you're only as good as your last standing ovation. That's something good to remember. You're only as good as your last standing ovation.
I love it.
So I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to go out at that piano and I'm going to sing the best song I've ever written first. I'm going to grab that audience and they're going to love me. So I go out there, I play the best song I've ever written at the age of 18. And when I finished, there was about maybe a half dozen people that clapped. And I'm thinking to myself, now what am I going to do? I got 40 more minutes to do this.
Oh, my.
So I spun my body around toward the audience, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I know that you did not come here to hear me sing. As a matter of fact, I was just hanging out in the green room with the guy that's coming out here in just a minute, and he said, Philip, I want to tell you something. If that audience loves you and embraces your music tonight, I'm going to play an extra hour just for them. Folks, let me tell you, it was the most unbelievable thing. Every single song, none of them was a hit, but every single song, just huge applause.
Yeah.
Until the very last song, I got a standing ovation.
Absolutely.
And I walk off the stage, and they call me back out for an encore. I'm completely out of song.
Right.
So I did something by the Eagles, maybe Desperado. Can't remember what it was.
Sure.
Anyway, I did a cover song. And as I'm walking off to the side of the stage, there's this guy standing there with cowboy boots on, cowboy hat, and his guitar slung over his back. And he stops me and says, young man, what's your name? I said, Philip Myers. He said, well, we've never officially met. That was a pretty good story you just shared, though. Why don't you just hang out for a little bit, and we'll actually get to meet each other in the green room. And, of course, as he walks out on the stage and opens up with Country Roads, it was the late, great John Denver.
Oh, my word. You got to be kidding me.
In concert. Yeah.
That's incredible. And did you make it to the green room with him?
I made it to the green room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The green room.
Oh, my gosh. And so that's incredible, because I happen to know for some personal stories you've shared with me about other green room incidences and things that you've been a part of, which we won't bring up here on the air. But when you get back in the green room with somebody like a John Denver, and you're a young, impressionable young professional trying to find your way, what happened there? What was that like? Did he pour into you, or did you just hang out because he was tired from singing?
Well, I think we probably spent 15 minutes or so together. The interesting thing about a lot of these artists that you tour with, and I've toured, you know, with a lot, recorded with a lot, is that, you know, they have their own life. They have their own career. You have your own tour bus. They have their tour bus. And a lot of times you're getting on the tour bus, leaving to go to the next city while they're still on the stage, just taking the stage.
Mm.
So it's a constant, at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yep,
you know?
Sure.
And it is a business, and that's what a lot of entertainers don't understand. And I learned that on early in life. But you know, you talk for a little bit. I think probably one of my favorite stories ever with regard to that, and we can get into that a little bit in the next segment, because we can talk a little bit about some of the artists that I've toured with in the transitions, and maybe even the touch on Broadway.
Right.
You know,
well, there's
so that world for a bit.
There's so much to hear about your amazing career, and Philip, can't thank you enough for being with us here on the Michigan Business Network. We're so glad you tuned into Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Bershiro. We're going to go pay some bills and come right on back.
Sinair has an unwavering belief that all people deserve the opportunities provided by living in healthy communities. They've lived that mission for more than 25 years. Through lending, investments, and the creation of homes and jobs, Sinair has made a combined $7 billion impact on the communities they serve. You don't make that kind of broad impact without a skilled, diverse, and highly valued team. That's one of the reasons Sinair has been consistently named a top place to work by Detroit Free Press, a Crain's Detroit Cool Places to Work, and a best nonprofit to work for. Learn more at www.sinair.com.
Thanks for tuning into the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown, and today I have as my special guest, Philip Myers, and so grateful for your time today. He is a corporate entertainer and producer and does a lot of big things and has been around the world in many ways, in many places, and has seen some of the most iconic acts and has participated and been a part of them. And I was probably, you know, of all the people that I know that you have been in touch with, there's a couple that I'm particularly fond of and think highly of, but there's probably not a bigger name than Elton John, and you've got some experience with Elton John, don't you?
I do have. I had the opportunity. You know, I'm often asked, you know, who are the people that you listened to growing up, and of course we all have, if we could possibly get in each other's playlists on our iPods, we could figure out a lot of stuff about each other.
Right.
But for me, you know, the singer-songwriters, pianists, vocalists, you know, like Elton John, Billy Joel, and lots of others, but
sure,
those are two that really stand out as being a singer-songwriter and pianist vocalist. So I had a chance to open for Elton in Chicago and L.A. In his solo tour without his band, which is really cool. And he started playing smaller venues just to do something different. And so 16 and 20,000 people each night. So when I finished opening for him in Chicago, his manager asked me, he said, Elton would like to know if you'd like to have some dinner with him after the show.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, yeah.
So cancel whatever I was doing.
So I make my way to a suite in the hotel where he was staying, and I walked in, and a lot of people ask a lot of times, you know, about that. We were talking about the green room a few minutes ago, and so sometimes it's the green room, sometimes it's dinner, and so on and so forth. So this particular time is invited to dinner, and so I'm walking to the suite, and as I sat down at the table, across from me was Tim Rice. His lyricist. He's only worked with two lyricists in his entire career,
wow,
Bernie Taupin and Tim Rice. So Tim Rice is sitting across from me. And then on my right is Billie Jean King, the great tennis player, who was there that night as his guest, because they're really good friends.
Sure.
And then on my left was Bette Midler, that's all I have to say is Bette Midler.
Right.
And then across from me was Elton. So that was the table, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to talk about? You know, luckily for me, I picked up tennis, you know, after my years of basketball, and I play a lot of tennis, and I ended up playing two sets with Billy the next day. It's a different story. Billie Jean King, great tennis player. And so we talked about Hilton Head, because I was living in Hilton Head, and she always tuned up her tournaments and stuff in Hilton Head, preparing for the U.S. Open. So we talked about Hilton Head a bit, and that was our connection. So finally, over the course of the evening, I had a chance to ask Elton two questions. I said, so Elton, mind if I ask you a couple questions? He said, of course not. And I said, so tell me about the Princess Di tribute, because I want to know how that came about. You know, because historically, before rap came along, musically, it was kind of unheard of to change a classic song, to change it in any of its format,
mm-hmm,
and alter it. And Candle in the Wind, you know, one of the biggest songs of all time, you just normally didn't do that. So I got to ask him about that, and that's another thing we can go into sometime, Vic, over a glass of wine at your house.
Mm-hmm.
So the second question I got to ask is, how do you know when you've captured an audience? How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even hesitate, because I think this is something good for all of us to know, as, again, as CEOs of companies and as speakers and leaders in general. How do you know when you've captured that audience? And he said, whenever I do my most intimate song, in this case, Candle in the Wind, if it feels like I'm the only person in the room, I know I've captured that audience.
Oh, is that special. Wow.
So if you remember going forward, sometime when you're listening to a concert, as we can get into concerts again, if there's that intimate moment from an artist and it feels like the entire room, the air just goes out of that room, that's that moment.
You got it.
I learned a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I it's interesting that you say that and that you related that to business, you know, too, because I think, Philip, one of the things that I think is important is whether it's storytelling or getting to a key point, whether you're in sales or whatever, it's all about having people leaning in and listening to every single word. And, you know, I tend to agree with you. You know, when you've captured the audience and you have their full attention, and it's at that moment that you have an opportunity to create influence. And that's really what leadership is creating that influence and that influential moment for those people to enjoy. So really, really some pretty pretty outstanding opportunities. You know, I think about I think about myself being surrounded in a room like that. All I could probably think of is you know, don't spill anything or don't embarrass yourself. But I guess you got to let the jitters come out, and you probably realize that all of the famous people you've ever met are just people, right?
Absolutely. 100%. You nailed it.
Yeah.
They are.
And I think they
have the same insecurities. They have the same insecurities as everybody else.
Yeah.
A lot of times they feel the most secure when they're on the stage and the less secure when they're off.
Right.
And it's interesting to see, especially with artists.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think that's the big thing, is trying to understand that, you know, whether it's the famous swimsuit model that you know picks apart issues that she has or whatever that is, you know, I just amazing, and it's the ability to store some of those insecurities in the back trunk, and to make sure that they don't dominate your way and prevent you from doing something like going from a piano bar with nobody in it to opening for John Denver a week later. So it's just incredible. I can't believe it. And it's just so fun to hear your story. What a life it's been. What a good time it is to have you here on the Michigan Business Network. You're listening to the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuer with Philip Meyer. We're going to be right back.
Forget business as usual. Your office workspace needs to support the way you work today and adapt to your needs tomorrow. DBI is your office environment's partner, a best-in-class preferred Hayworth dealer, creating great spaces to fit your company's brand and personality. DBI draws from an experienced staff of professional installers and certified designers to develop a working environment to meet your most exacting standard. Learn more at dbiyes.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verschuer with the amazing Philip Myers. He's here today, and of course, his daytime job, nighttime job, and what's consumed his life is being a corporate entertainer and a producer and an amazing musician, writer, does all kinds of things in that space. But, you know, I've kind of pigeonholed this conversation into some of the early days and some of the things that have happened along the way, but I wonder, I think you've had a pretty versatile career, so are there other types of music that I'm missing in this conversation that we should be talking about?
Well, I'll tell you, Vic, I kind of got you up to going to college. I ended up getting 2 degrees, University of Tennessee, and then I was so intrigued by, I auditioned for the tenor solos in Handel's Messiah, being conducted by Robert Shaw and the Atlanta Symphony. And so I got that, and I went down to Atlanta and did all 365 pages of Handel's Messiah with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and 100 piece choir. And that was an amazing experience. And I was so intrigued by Robert Shaw and his grasp of the choral sound and music that I wanted to study conducting with him. So I ended up moving down to Atlanta and doing graduate work with him in conducting, which was totally different as a singer to this point. So I learned the craft of conducting, was intrigued by it. And then I got a break to fly to New York to audition for the title role of Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, wow.
And there's a whole story behind that, but I'll basically just tell you in a nutshell. I ended up getting the role. I spent 9 months on the road doing the title role of Jesus in the National Broadway tour of Jesus Christ Superstar. And so that was, to me, it was a fantastic experience. It was totally different from things that I'd done in the past. But that also led me to have a chance to audition in Nashville, Tennessee, not too far from my hometown. Growing up in East Tennessee, it's about a four-hour drive to Nashville, down toward Memphis.
Yeah.
And so I ended up moving to Nashville, got signed as a staff writer with RCA Records, learned the craft of songwriting. You know, they still say to this day that Nashville is the songwriting capital of the world. People in New York and L.A. may argue that, but I will stick to the point that it is the songwriter's capital of the world. So I learned that craft of writing music, met a guy by the name of Eddie Arnold, an older country singer. You know, he had the song, "Make the World
go away." Yeah.
"Put you all on my shoulder." And he had a ton of big, big hits. So Eddie kind of took me under his wing. There's something else we all learn in this business is mentorship, you know, being able to find somebody that will take you under their wing and say, let me get your foot in the door. Let me help you with this. And he did that. And that led to a lot of doors opening for me. I got to work with Vince Gill and Garth Brooks and Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson and just on and on, lots and lots of artists, being in there in Nashville and learning that craft. So I went from Broadway to country music. So and everything in between.
Yeah. Well, the everything in between. I have to go back when you're thinking about your time on the road in that Broadway, you know, when you take that show on the road like that, 9 months, are you singing and performing pretty much almost every day?
Yeah, we're off one day. We're off Mondays or usually the dark day.
Yeah.
There's some exceptions if it's a corporate buyout for a show.
Oh, good point.
But yep. Now there is an understudy that if you have to, you rely on the understudy in case you're sick or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, the show goes on, and as you know, those, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours on the stage.
It's gotta be draining. Yeah.
Well, it's exhausting, and you have to condition yourself for it.
Yeah, and what does that look like in terms of being able to prepare to be on that much for that long? Is it eating right and physical exercise, or is it more of a mental game? What's that all about?
Well, I think the first thing is, crazy as it sounds, is sleep.
Mm.
For me, if I'm doing legit difficult music, the music of like, you know, classical or Andrea Bocelli or you know, Broadway, Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, Cats. If I'm doing difficult, demanding music, I need 8 hours a night.
Mm.
So first and foremost, you got to have your 8 hours of sleep. I got to have my sound machine as I travel. Every hotel room's different, and I know it sounds weird because we have grandkids now, and we use sound machines for our grandkids. So
right.
No, I have to crank my sound machine in every hotel room because I hear everything. So I can't hear doors closing in the hallway. I need my 8 hours a night of sleep. So that, exercise, eating healthy, all those things are important. Not talking so much, you know, like Celine Dion has preached over and over, Pavarotti, they didn't ever speak the day of a show. They wrote their comments down on a piece of paper for their management.
Wow.
So you got to save that voice because talking is one of the most tiring things on your voice.
Yeah. So, well, and that's just interesting that you make that point. It might be an interesting thing for people that are listening in that might have a big presentation to do or whatever to make sure that they've prepped appropriately. So these are some good hints because when you got to be on, you're bringing it, and mentally you've got to be zeroed in. In all of this, Philip, I just know that you've had a lot of different things that have happened along the way. In our next segment, I'm going to ask you to start out with what's the greatest blessing of all of your amazing career experiences? What was that one thing that you would hold out as this is probably the coolest result from all this? So we're going to hear back more from Philip Myers in our next segment. We're so glad you tuned into the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro, and we're going to be right back.
Do you like to travel for fun and excitement, craving a relaxing getaway? No matter where you want to go or what you want to do, you can trust Dean Trailways to get you there. Our luxury motor coach lets you relax while you travel. No traffic to worry about, no parking fees, no hassle. Are you looking for some sizzling excitement this fall? Let Dean Trailways bring on the heat and take you to Firekeepers, Michigan's newest gaming hotspot. Experience the thrills of the slots, blackjack, craps, the live poker room, and indulge in the world-class restaurants, all while counting on Dean to bring you home safely. Dean Trailways of Michigan. Travel smart.
You've got the Leadership Lowdown right here on the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Verschuro, and we're in our final segment with Philip Myers, and it just brings a tear to my eye because there's so much we could talk about. We might have to make this a seven-part show if if you're in, Philip, if that's all right. But
I'd be happy to.
That's fun. Well, you know, as you think about it, I believe that we make choices about our attitude, and I really think that that there's far more blessings than there are bad things that go on around us. And I think about a lifetime career and an amazing set of stories that you could regale us with for hours. But in all of this, has there been any major significant takeaways you go, you know what, this probably is the headline of the entire amazing run that I've had. This is what it's all about. Anything like that pop into your mind?
Well, I think I'll share two with you real quickly because it's hard. I mean, there's so many. It's hard. But as we were talking about this, you asked me that question. So let me set this up for you. You know, I've had a chance to sing for four presidents of the United States and for hundreds of thousands of people. But there are two things that really kind of stand out. I'm looking for moments in my life when I realize just the impact that music can have on people, you know, and changing the lives and giving them hope. And so in 1996, I was asked to do the Olympics with Celine Dion in Atlanta, Georgia, to do the opening ceremony with her.
Wow.
And so more so than the chance to do that and hundreds of millions of people who are watching, we stood in the tunnel. And we stood in the tunnel as they brought the athletes by us in you know, single file representing their country. And you saw the flags and the excitement and how proud they were. All those years of preparation for just one moment that they'd be able to give their gift.
Yeah.
And on the walls of the tunnel, there were things written like, seize the moment, imagine the glory. One moment in time, the power of the dream. All those things were written along the wall. And then we went out there with the orchestra and we sang the song, The Power of the Dream, which was written by David Foster and performed by Celine and all of us. And so that was a moment that you realize, you know, just how impactful music can be.
Mm-hmm.
The second one would be, strangely enough, in China. So we're in China to do a show in Beijing, and it was an outdoor amphitheater. And an American company had brought us over there, somebody that you actually know. We'll talk about that off the air another time. So the company, we're out there, and he's wanting us to do a musical tribute to Elton John and Billy Joel. So it's face-to-face, myself and the other pianists, and we're doing a tribute, and I've got my eight-piece band behind us. And as we're performing, we finish the show, and there's candles go up, and the cell phones go up with the lighters, and CEO of the company comes around back, and I've got my guys huddled because we always have on a piece of paper like five songs that are a go-to for encores. My guys are huddled there, and we're saying, okay, Philip, we're doing Come Sail Away by Styx. What are we doing for the encore? We're thinking about it and huddled here, and all of a sudden the CEO taps me on the shoulder and says, Philip, what are you waiting on? The crowd wants you to come back out. And I said, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for an encore. Now, I got to set this up by telling you that the Chinese people could not get into the theater because it's private, but there were thousands and thousands of Chinese people lined up all around the outside of this amphitheater because they could hear us and see us.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get in. And so he said, what do you mean you're hesitating? You know what song you're going to do for the encore. You're going to go back out there and you're going to do America the Beautiful and end with God Bless the USA.
No way.
That's what you're going to do. And 1,200 American people stand there in the audience, stand and cheer and sing with us. And it was one of those magical moments. You know, in communist China, you never know the difference that music can make in people's lives.
Oh, and it's touched lives all over the world. That is a great story. I'm so glad you shared that with us. You know, Philip, before we run out of time, there's got to be people that are going, you know what, we could use some world-class entertainment at our next convention or our next meeting or in our organization. So we've got a number of great insurance companies here in town and other people listening in all over the state and all over the world, really. So tell us, how do we get a hold of you and try to get connected with Philip Myers' amazing talent?
Well, Vic, I know that people are really struggling right now trying to figure out, you know, what's the next step, what's the next move, because they still want to entertain their employees and also educate them and keep this ball moving in this tough time. And whether they're doing, we can do virtual concerts for them, literally from my studio, solo, telling stories, writing songs, doing songs for companies, to full-blown band. We've got my guys social distancing from a distance. And so they can reach us at philipmyersmusic.com. And that's Philip with one L, PhilipMyers, music, MUSIC.com. And happy to help them out in any way we can, meeting planners or CEOs of companies, whatever we can do to help you in this struggling, tough time.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things that I'm just so impressed with is the fact that you just keep it real. And I guarantee that if there's anybody looking for something spectacular and wanting to have a meaningful memory, I remember in programs that you've done for us, truly, it was the talk of the group, and every year they wanted to have Philip Myers and his amazing musicians back. So look at Philip, you've touched a lot of lives all over the world. You've done a lot of different things in some pretty amazing, huge amphitheater type, big audience kind of ways, but nothing's better than the personal relationship you've shared with me over the years, and just appreciate all that you do and all that you've done for music and for people that have come your way. Thank you so much.
Well, Vic, you know I love you as a friend and a brother, and I cherish our times together, and let's just make a vow that we'll be doing some more together in the future.
You got it. Let's get that done. And we want to thank you for tuning in for the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro. Can't wait to talk to you next time.